Good amen. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you because you've called us still to be faithful, to have your attributes, your character, and your commandment instilled, inscribed, written upon every heart. And so you bring us to listen to you with honor, with respect, honoring you as a faithful father, and to do, to obey everything you direct us because of the favor you have given us to be leaders, workers in your vineyard. We're asking, Lord, that we'll never be forgetful of the calling of our lives to be leaders in the church and to fulfill every detail of your word to the letter, everywhere, every time, in every situation, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. In the New Testament, we're coming to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and we're reading from verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he said to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. Called the elders of the church. As a leader, as a pastor, as a shepherd, evangelist, teacher of the word, he had gone out preaching, and many churches have been planted. And everywhere the church was planted, they appointed leaders, elders, pastors, shepherds over them. And he wasn't just involved with the crowd, with the multitude. He was involved were training the leaders, instructing the leaders, pointing the way of ministry to the leaders. And now that was about to leave that area of Asia, he now called the elders together. And you will see that he sent to Ephesus in particular. In chapter 19, he administered very fervently and fruitfully in the city of Ephesus. In fact, although some believers in Ephesus, the idol makers, the idol worshippers were so concerned, and they raised their voice, they shouted on and on for 2 hours that Diana is the god or the goddess. They said that one fell from the sky. But all that they did not move him. He still kept on preaching the word. But his concern was not just for the church at Ephesus. He had a concern. He had a commitment for the church in other places. God used him to establish the church and strengthen the church in Corinth, in Philippi, and in Colossae, in Thessalonica, and in various places. He moved from place to place. His understanding of being an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, and a teacher and a pastor was not to sit down in one place. He went all about. And now that was to leave Ephesus and go to other places, he called those leaders together. He was going to give them some final instructions. Of course, you know, he also wrote an epistle to them eventually. And we look at what he spoke to them, what he shared with them, what he instructed them on. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and when they were come to him, none of them said Saul, Paul, you can do whatever you want to do. You want to go to another place? You can go. You are inviting us to come. We know enough already. We have learned enough already. We are not coming. Well, the church was still fresh and was still new. And the obedience, submission, and commitment to the Lord and to leadership was still so very strong that none of them said they were not coming. They were come to him. He said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." In verse 19, it says, serving the Lord. Yes, he was serving the church, but actually he was serving the Lord in serving the church. He was ministering to the church. Yes, in ministering to the church, he was serving the Lord. He was evangelizing. He was teaching the word. He was making the word of God to be reaching on the tables of their hearts. In doing all that, everything is serving the Lord. If we don't realize that what we do in the gospel as servants of God, as leaders in the church, as workers in the church in any area, if we don't understand it's a service to the Lord, we'll do it as, after all, isn't this that I'm doing for him, for her? And when you think all that you are offering is unto man, there's a way you will act when you are not happy with that man. In the case of Paul the apostle, he emphasized that he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. In verse 20, it tells us, "And now, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Verse 21, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 26, it tells us, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." It says, if anyone is not saved, I'm not responsible. I've taught you the word of salvation. If anyone is not pure enough for heaven, if anyone misses heaven because he does not follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, he said, "That's not my fault. I am pure from the blood of all men," because he had told them, he had taught them, he had instructed them in the way of the Lord. It was for them then to submit and surrender to the Lord and to be obedient to the word of God and thereby have all the blessings coming from Calvary to touch their lives and transform their hearts and make them live and walk in the narrow way that leads to heaven. In verse 27, it says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And as you read that, you understand what Paul the apostle emphasized. Look at it this way: "I have not shunned to declare unto you all, unto you all, the counsel of God. All of you, I've declared unto you the counsel of God, the might of God, the word of God. Some of you were resistant at the beginning, but I didn't allow that to put me off. Some of you were argumentative. I didn't allow that to put me off. Some of you were comparing this one, I'm telling you, with what you had from John the Baptist. I didn't allow that to put me off. Some of you were gentle, but some of you were not so gentle. Yet I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The other way is, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God, every judge, every teacher, I've declared unto you. I've not said, no, that doctrine is difficult. That word requires too much of them. That will require grace, and that will require great commitment. So I cannot tell you now. No, I told you everything. I declared everything. I taught everything. I didn't allow anybody's peculiar situation, anybody's peculiar deficiency, anybody's peculiar weakness to stop my mouth in not telling you what I need to tell you. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, I transfer that to you in verse 28. In verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, your own personal life. Take heed unto yourselves and your commitment to ministry. Take heed unto yourselves and your focus on the calling the Lord has given you. Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now, Paul is going to be absent. He's not going to be physically with you all the time. But you must remember, your allegiance, your submission, your devotion is not to Paul, it's to the Lord. Because it is the Holy Ghost that has made you overseers over the church of God. And so you take heed unto yourself and unto all the flock, all the flock, all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And you take heed, what do you do for the church? To feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. They must not be hungry, and then no satisfaction for the hunger. You must feed them with the appropriate food. There's food that is made for the body. There's food that is made to strengthen every part of the body, especially the heart of the body, especially the blood that flows in our veins, especially the brain that ought to be alert, especially the mind that ought to be sharp, especially their eyes that ought to focus and see. You need different kinds of food. And the same thing as you look at the scriptures, you elders and you leaders that God has made overseers, every part of the life of the believer, you must minister to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's why eventually in verse 32 it says, and now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Don't think that everything you have heard, everything you have learned from Paul the Apostle, you have now reached the level that there is no building up anymore. There's no growth anymore. There's no development anymore. He says, no, I'm committing you to the word of his grace. You still need growth and you still need instruction, and that word will build you up and to give you an inheritance among them, among all them which are sanctified. And always remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 35. In verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. I didn't only preach, I practiced what I preach. And I've showed you in practical ways, working with my hands, providing for my needs and providing for the needs of the people around me. Not that we don't have power, not that we don't have authority to demand of the church this and that, but I showed you that as an example so that you will support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Today, as we look at this chapter, we're looking at faithful leadership with fervent love. Faithful leadership with fervent love. If there is anything we learn from the pattern of ministry of Paul the Apostle, he was a faithful leader. Why? Because he was a fearless leader. If you are fearful, if you are timid, if you are always thinking about, you know, they will injure you and they will do this, they will do that to you, you will not be faithful. You will be petting, pampering yourself. You'll be thinking of my safety. And you'll be thinking of, they'll persecute me if I go that direction. You will not be faithful. If there's anything to learn from Paul the Apostle, he was a faithful leader because he was a fearless leader. He was a faithful leader because he was a focused leader. This one thing I do. He knew that the salvation of the people, the sanctification of the believers were very important. He focused on that. He was a faithful leader because he was fearless. He was a faithful leader because he was focused. And he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear, precious unto myself. Why? So that I can finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord. It was a focused leader. Of course, he was fruitful. A fruitful leader. Check up everything that was done, and you'll see that his faithfulness produced fruitfulness. And to the very end, he was continuing to be faithful. To the very end, he was fruitful. He said, I've finished the work. I've kept the faith. Now, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those that love his appearance. And then he had fervent love, fervent love. He said, you may have thousands of instructors, but you do not have thousands of fathers, because he said, by the gospel and by the grace of God, I've begotten you unto the Lord. He had fervent love. He said, I would rather spend and be spent for you, even though the more I love you, the less you think of me. Yet he said, I will spend for you. He said, are we the only one, I am Barnabas, that will go everywhere without any support and without any companion? We know about Cephas, Peter, and we know about the others that go with their wives and sisters. But we have committed ourselves to this work. without looking back. He said, though I be free from all men, yet I make myself servant unto all. Why? That I might gain the more, that is, gain them to the Savior, to salvation. To the Jew, I am as a Jew, and to the Gentile, I am as a Gentile. He said, we've gone everywhere making ourselves servants for your sake, that I might gain the more, bring them into the kingdom. He had fervent love. That's what we learn as we reach everything and study everything today. Faithful leadership with fervent love. Three things we are considering. Number one, the commitment of leadership for the whole church. Not just for single assembly, not just for the church in one city, Iconium, in Jerusalem, and everywhere, Antioch, in Gentile locations, and even Jewish locations. The whole church, the commitment of leadership for the whole church. Number two, the concern of leaders for a wholesome church. A healthy church, a holy church, a sanctified church, a second coming church, a wholesome church, not just believing one thing and leaving the others alone, but the church that believes and lives on the basis of the totality of the Word of God. The concern of true leaders for a wholesome church. Number three is the consecration of transformed lives in a wholehearted church. With all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, we pursue obedience to the Word of God. Wholehearted in our dedication, wholehearted in our devotion, wholehearted in serving the Lord, lives that are transformed. That's what the leadership of Paul the Apostle raised up in that early time. The consecration we now ought to have as our lives are transformed in a wholehearted church. Point number one. Number one is the commitment of leadership for the whole church. The commitment of leadership for the whole church. Three things here. Number one, the fundamentals of repentance and faith in Christ. Number two is the faithfulness of his revelation in fullness without compromise. Number three, the feeding of the ransom for our fitness till his coming. Number one is the fundamentals of repentance and faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Acts 20:20. Always remember, this is like 2020 vision. 2020 vision. You have vision of really raising up people to follow after the Lord, and you're still retaining the sharp, focused vision 2020. And how? I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and privately from house to house. In verse 21 testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In the preaching of the gospel by Paul the Apostle, a faithful leader, a fearless leader, a focused leader, a fruitful leader. He never sought for the attention of the crowd, for the response of the multitude, by toning down the word of the Lord. He taught them the necessity of this fundamental act of the sinner. He must repent. He must turn away from sin. And he must do that with real consciousness that every sin is evil in the sight of the Lord. No small sin, we can overlook that. And there is no habitual sin, we can't help that. He taught the word of God faithfully. This is a fundamental of the gospel. There must be repentance by anyone, by everyone, if he's going to come into the kingdom. He taught the kings, he taught the leaders, he taught the highly placed, he taught the Gentiles, he taught the Jews, he taught the men, he taught the women, and he taught them with love. He wanted them to be in the kingdom, and the only way they could be in the kingdom was to truly and fully repent. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things are fundamental, because Christ died for us and he shed his blood, and we need to believe in that substitutionary blood and sacrifice of Christ. Repentance and faith toward Christ. In chapter 26 of Acts, Acts 26, reading from verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He said everywhere he did not shun, he did not neglect, he did not overlook, he did not tone down the word of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent ye therefore. Here is Peter telling the audience that had seen and witnessed the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate. And they all came together. They were surprised. They were excited about the healing of a man who had been about 40 years of age and had never walked. And this miracle happened through the ministry or ministration of Peter. And now he must not let them go without telling them the fundamental. The fundamental is not healing. The fundamental is not the physical witness of miracle, but repentance. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 26, it says, unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Look at number two. Number two, the faithfulness to his revelation in fullness without compromise. The revelation of the gospel, of the word, and you're faithful to that revelation in its fullness without kind of covering any part of the revelation of God in fullness without compromise. What do we compromise? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The reason we compromise is that we're too conscious of self. We're too conscious of the opinions of men. We're too conscious of the opposition of men. We're too conscious about the pain they can give us. Pain in our mind, pain to our body, pain to our person. We're too conscious of the power they have to persecute. And because of that consciousness, and we're afraid for our lives, we're afraid for the pain of persecution, we're afraid of their determination to run us down, to pull us down, and to impose whatever injury into our mind, into our emotion, into our body. Because we're too conscious of that, that the reason we're compromised. But Paul the Apostle said, I hear even the Holy Spirit witnessing everywhere I go, the bounds and afflictions await me. They were waiting for him everywhere he went. And once he entered the city, they begin to show him signs. We're here. Be careful what you say. And be careful how long you stand there telling us the word of God. We hear that where you are coming from in Troas, you preached and preached even till the night, till somebody there sitting on the by the window fell down and died. And then you temporarily stopped the preaching and you went down, manifested the gift of the working of miracle, raised him up. And then you didn't realize you are taking too much time, and look at the consequence of the time you have taken. But he continued preaching until daybreak. He must have preached for 6, 7, 10 hours, just going. Why? Because he wasn't afraid of whatever reaction. And when he got to a new city and a new place, he saw the signs he had seen where he was coming from. But he said, you know what? None of these things move me, neither count I my life, my ease, my comfort, my whatever dear unto myself. And then he goes on to say, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's why he now says in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that's what we are to do, especially as Christ has commanded us. Matthew 28, reading from verse 20. In Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things, don't subtract, don't add, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. I don't think about the persecution, think about his presence. I am with you always. Don't think about the pain. Think about his promise. I am with you. Don't think about the pressure the world might give. And don't you want the world to be saved? They don't understand that this word is for their salvation. And before you finish delivering the message of salvation conclusively, persuasively, they say that's enough, that's enough. They have other things they want to go, and you don't allow the pressure of the world to stop your mouth and to stop what you need to tell them. Don't think about their pressure. Think about the power. He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Revelation 22. We're reading from verse 16. In Revelation 22, 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Not really in one church, in all the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now verse 18. In verse 18, for I, Jesus, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone, instead of keeping to the word, the word of repentance, the word of righteousness, the word of redemption, instead of keeping to that word of faith and faithfulness unto the Lord, it comes to add dream that contradicts the word of God. It comes to add visions of angels that contradicts the word of God. If anybody adds to the word of God, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, in verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What a dangerous thing. Somebody wants to have a great crowd. If I talk on repentance, they won't come. If I emphasize restitution, they will not come. If I emphasize righteousness, the righteousness that is greater above the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, but talking about so deep righteousness, they will not come. Therefore, he takes that away, takes repentance away, restitution away, redemption away, and he takes holiness, heart holiness, away from his message. Well, Jesus said, if anyone does that, and God is no respecter of persons, God will take away his part out of all the good things he has written, and he'll take away his name out of the book of life. We need faithfulness to all his revelation, in fullness without compromise. Number three, the feeding of the ransomed for our fitness until his coming. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. Evangelize the world, yes, but feed the church of God. And take part in all these various events. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Celebrate their weddings with them. But feed the church of God. Weep with them that weep. And those who are bereaved, visit them. Sympathize with them. Empathize with them. Yet feed the church of God. You might have to train yourself in still having the physical stamina, but feed the church of God, and you feed the church with the whole world. Old Testament, New Testament, all these were written for our learning, that we might be fed and we might be fit for the kingdom of God. And you keep on feeding the church until his coming. First Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 2. First Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God, the church of God, the flock of God, the same. Feed the flock of God. Balanced diet. Feed them with the word of faith, word of his grace, word of his goodness, and the word that makes them godly. Godliness, very important. And feed them with the word of prophecy, that Christ is coming and will prepare for the coming of the Lord. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, as if somebody is forcing you. Do it cheerfully. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it with all your heart. Do it happily. And do it cheerfully with excitement. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I will give you pastors. If the pastor is given from the Lord, by the Lord, and for the ministry unto the Lord, he will feed us with knowledge, the knowledge of the word, and with understanding, with interpretation that moves us to the Savior, interpretation, application that leads us to the sanctifier, interpretation, application that makes us to fully surrender to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. We're looking at point number two. Point number two is the concern of true leaders for a wholesome church. Acts chapter 20, we're reading from verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse 32. In verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The concern of true leaders for a wholesome church. Look at three things here. Number one, gracious workmen, winning the flock under Christ's triumph, his triumph. Number two, grievous, dangerous, terrible wolves wooing the flock to themselves. Number three, grieving, sorrowful, bothered, sad, unhappy watchmen warning the flock of thieves. Number one, gracious workmen, winning the flock under his triumph. We're told in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the concern of Paul the apostle, the concern of a true leader, wanting the flock to be fed, to be protected, to be preserved, wanting the health and the fitness of the flock to be promoted and to be protected, wanting the steadfastness and the security of the flock to be ascertained until the Lord will come. And that is what a true leader will do today. That is what a true workman will do today. That's what a true pastor will do today. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly preaching, rightly having the exposition of the word of truth. And he tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. We need that. Remember them that have the rule over you, the shepherd watching over your soul. Remember the preacher giving the truth unto the church. Remember the confidence you ought to have in the courage of the leader that is preaching the word to you. And false prophets, the first thing they do when they want to bring error into the flock is to downplay the authority of the shepherd, downplay the authority of the pastor, downplay the authority of the one that is feeding us. It's like a false person, an enemy, wanting to introduce poison into your menu. The first thing they will do is to get you discouraged on the good, nutritious kind of food that you have. And once you lose confidence in the person that is giving you that good food, nutritious thing, and you kind of look down, belittle that, then they make a way for their poison. And once they say that we don't worship men, we know that we are not worshiping men, but we have pastors who tell us the truth. We have pastors who put their lives in their hands, and at the risk of great persecution, they tell us the word so that we can preserve the salvation we have in the Lord. But if you know, they will first of all have to bring down the man that has authority, that has understanding, the one that God has appointed after his own heart to give us knowledge and to give us understanding. They have to bring him down for us, and they have to discourage him. They have to make him fearful. They have to make him timid so that he will not be able to say everything he ought to say. That will give them chance to now put in their error and their false doctrine. We're not ignorant of the devices of these false prophets. The people might be inside or they might be outside. All they want to do is to make us forget the pastor, the shepherd, the leader that God himself has raised up to feed us with knowledge, with understanding. But you must remember them which have ruled the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9. In verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Verse 17. In verse 17, it tells us, obey them that have the rule over you. The shepherd has the rule over the flock. That's the privilege, that's the assignment the Heavenly Father has given every shepherd of the flock. The shepherd, the pastor, the preacher, the teacher of the word has rule over the congregation, the flock. That is the responsibility the Lord has given to the shepherd over the flock. Must not shy away from that because they call us names. We must not shy away from that because they want to bring us down before the people, and they want to say and write some unprintable things about us All they are trying to do were idols. We should understand. They wanted to shift focus away from your pastor, from your shepherd. They want to tell you, after all, he's a human being. After all, we can tell you, we'll tell you a little, but we'll still have a lot we could have told you. We'll tell you a little how small he is, how unspiritual he is, how unrighteous he is, how unholy he is, how undependable he is. All they're trying to do is to make you shift focus away from the leader that Lord has placed over you, so that you now look up to them and listen to their falsehood. But it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That's what they tell us not to do. They said members of the church should not submit unto the leadership of the church, unto, you know, the pastor, either in the local church or in the group or in the state or in the nation or the general superintendent. No, don't submit to any man. We are following after Christ. I wish you were following after Christ, because Christ said, he that hears you that I've appointed hears me. He that does not hear you does not hear me. And he who does not hear me does not hear or obey my Father. Don't listen to all these defectors and detractors who want to stop our mouth so that we don't tell you the truth. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Watch over your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We're looking at number two here. Number two is the grievous wolves wooing the flock to themselves. Acts chapter 20, we're reading from verse 29. Acts 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Paul, if you know that the grievous wolves are going to enter in, what do you depart? Or do you leave? Or don't you stay? Or do you still go to this and that and that? Oh, because I must obey Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you know that these spurious people and these false people are going to endeavor to steal the flock, the sheep, out of the flock, why don't you stay? Why do you still go here and go there? We have to go, because you know the commission is to reach the whole world. That's why we still go. Yes, we know what those people, dangerous people, what they try to do. But you have group pastors, obey them, listen to them. You have district pastors, obey them, listen to them. And you have location pastors, obey the word of God. You have region overseers, you have state overseers, you have national overseers. The senior pastor here does not have to stay here at the headquarters every time. He still has to go to India, and he will still go in Jesus' name. He will still have to go. He's thinking now of going to Sri Lanka. He's thinking now of going to Singapore. He's thinking now of going to Malaysia. He's thinking now of going to Indonesia. He will still go in Jesus' name. And while he's physically away, His spirit, his mind will be here with you. And we still need to continue preaching the word everywhere, not minding what the false prophets who are running up and down and they want to scatter the flock. What they're trying to do, they will not succeed. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away. That's the purpose. Speaking perverse things, they will look for stories they can tell. They will look for lies, deception they can perpetrate. Perverse things in order to draw away disciples after them. They will not draw you away, and you will not go astray in Jesus' name. Number three, grieving watchmen, warning the flock of thieves. Grieving, sad, sorrowful watchmen, warning the flock of thieves. Acts 20 verse 31. In Acts 20 verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Warn everyone night and day with tears. Colossians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 28. Colossians 1, 28. Whom we preach, warning every man. We don't only preach to be positive. Yes, we're positive, but we have to warn of the negative things happening in society and things happening against the church, to scatter the church. We have to open our mouth and talk. We're not acting as if we didn't know. Of course we know. And if we know the danger that the things happening pose to the church, it's a duty, it's a responsibility to speak about it. And that's what Paul the Apostle did, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord perfect every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number three now, the consecration of transformed lives in a wholehearted church. Consecration of transformed lives in a wholehearted church. Acts chapter 20. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Three things we're looking at. Number one, commending the brethren to the word of his grace. Number two, cleansing the believers with the word for godliness. Number three, cleaving to the bridegroom to be worthy of his glory. We're told in that Acts chapter 20, verse 32, that the flock, the believers, the brethren are commended to the word of his grace. The word, that's what keeps us. The whole word, that's what keeps us in the Lord. And Paul the apostle, everywhere he went, he wasn't emphasizing his own word, but the word of God, which is the word of his grace. Acts 14, verse 23. In Acts 14, 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with them with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Commended them, handed them over to the Lord and to his word, because they had believed on him. Chapter 26, verse 18. In chapter 26 of Acts, verse 18, to open their eyes, we open the eyes of the brethren to the word of God, to turn them from darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Christ. Now, number two is cleansing the believers of the washing of water by the word for their godliness. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, who gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. The cleansing of the church, the flock, the believers by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, that he might present the church unto himself, not to a false prophet, that he might present the church to himself, not to the one that rises up and he says, now everybody look away from, you know, the church you've been going, look up here to this new fellow. No, we're not preparing the church for any man. We're not preparing the church for a new prophet that is rising up and, you know, writing everywhere, follow me, I'm the new fellow, I'm going to tell you something you've never heard. No, it says he cleanses the church, he purges the church, he prepares the church, he sanctifies the church, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You'll be part of that holy church in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at number three. Number three is cleaving to the bridegroom to be worthy of his glory. We cleave unto him, we abide with him, so that we'll be worthy of his glory. Acts 11, reading from verse 23. Acts 11, verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Not cleave unto the preacher, not cleave unto Barnabas, not cleave unto whoever he knew. Others had been there before he came. Others have preached and ministered before he came. And that's the reason when he came, he already saw the grace of God for salvation. He already saw the grace of God in sanctification. He already saw the grace of God in a sincere, pure life. When he saw the grace of God, he didn't say, these are good people to cleave unto myself. No, all these people that want us to cleave unto them, to confide in them, to send our offering to them, and to be so committed. Don't forget, send your tithes unto me. I'm doing a great work here. They want us to cleave unto them and to divert our mind and divorce us from the Lord and from the congregation he has raised up, whereby he gave you grace and he gave you salvation and gave you sanctification and the power of the Lord purifying your life. And they want you to cleave unto them. No, to cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. I pray you remain with the Lord all your life until you go to glory in Jesus' name. In Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 3. Revelation chapter 3, we're looking at verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. I pray you'll not defile your spiritual garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For they are worthy. Revelation chapter 19, we're reading from verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. You'll be ready. I will be ready. The Lord give you all the needed grace, and the Lord give you godliness so he can prepare you for glory. Be ready every time in Jesus' name. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We're the flock of God, and the Lord preserved his flock holy, righteous, ready until the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. The Lord make you like the wise virgin, that when the trumpet shall sound, you will hear. And immediately, when the dead in Christ are raised and are caught up, we and you shall be caught up with them in Jesus' name. The reason for our salvation, the reason for our sanctification, the reason for our service, the reason why we're running after other people to bring them to the Lord, is so that on that final day, ourselves and our converse will be up there to glorify the Lord and to be with the Lord for the rest of their lives and eternity, and it will be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Cleave to the Lord. Don't look away from the Lord. Abide in Him. Abide in His word. And the Lord grant you everything you need spiritually to be worthy of the glory and the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Take everything we have learned to the Lord. And let more grace be given unto you.
Brethren,